the Thornton Trio. Brother Keith, you join them, we'll have a quartet. Okay. That was good. Thank you all. What a glorious day that will be when our Lord comes. Amen. Who sings that besides y'all? Who? Oh, okay. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 and 5 are deep woods. They're deep weeds. And we're going to struggle our way through it this morning and tonight. But we want to begin to look at what will we do in heaven? Part 2. Last week I shared part 1 in verses chapter 4, 1 through 3. Tonight we're going to pick up in verse 4 and talk about what we will do in heaven. Remember what I told you? What will we do in heaven? Worship forever and ever our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what I'm saying. If we're going to sing there, we got to learn how to sing here, right? Are y'all with me? Okay. And Wanda, I like what you've done when after I interrupted, rudely interrupted, you prayed real low so we could hear them sing, right? No. Then you saw that they weren't singing no better, so you picked back up, right? We got to sing out, church, right? If you want to hear a bunch of, who was that? That's true. All right, we'll go on with that. Revelation chapter 4, look in verse 4. What will we do in heaven? And I'll read the text as we go this morning. But we want to pick up in verse 4. I wanted to share in chapter 4, you have the church around the throne of God. Chapter 5, you have all the focus on the Lamb. Okay? And we'll look at that tonight. We may get through this morning. I may have to cut it off. But I want to share the summons, the sights, and the songs in regard to the throne. Now, last week in verses 1 through 2, we saw the summons. John being called up was a picture of the church being called up. Church age, rapture of the church, chapter 4, tribulation begins in chapter 6. So we saw the summons. We began to look at the sights in heaven when we get there. And by the way, if you want to know what you're going to see, look at chapter 4 and look at chapter 21 and 22. Don't read no book by some 10-year-old or 7-year-old, right? Read it right here. So what are the sights in heaven? Well, we saw in verses 2 and 3, there was someone seated on the throne. Then we saw in verse 3 that saw a rainbow around the throne. Jack told me, Jack Boyd emailed me later after this week and said that he's a pilot, you know. He said when you get above the clouds, the rainbows are a full circle. I mean, I don't know because I'm not going to fly. But on Earth, they're a half circle. But in the skies, they're a full circle. And around the throne of God, they're a full circle as well, symbolizing completeness. And then we began to look in verse 4, John sees the church around the throne. Now, I'm going to explain this the best I know how today, and I want to show you that why the church is in heaven before the tribulation period begins. Let's read verse 4, if you will. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting. Now, elders, pastor, bishops are the pastors, the leaders of the church. So he called elders here as representative of the church. And he says, I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now that's important because this is the church. These elders cannot be angels. Why? Because angels are not on thrones and they're not called elders. We never see angels rewarded with crowns in the scriptures. The elders sing a hymn of praise about redemption. And angels don't sing and can't be redeemed. We'll look at that further. Angels are not numbered but are innumerable. You'll never see that like 24 angels. I mean, no, they're innumerable. These elders can't be Israel. Some say this is Israel. Problem with that is Israel is not redeemed yet till after 7 years after the tribulation period. This is the beginning. This is when we first go to heaven, right after the judgment seat of Christ at the rapture. So it's not Israel. It's not the Old Testament saints, too. Very plainly in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, the Old Testament saints are not resurrected until after the tribulation, Daniel 12:2. Some believe 12 tribes, 12 are for the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 for the apostles. Problem is, that's not mentioned in the text. So who are the elders? They are representative of God's people, the church, raptured, judged, and rewarded. Notice they have white raiment. And other passages that deal with the judgment seat of Christ that happens right after the rapture, it speaks of the righteousness of the saints that is given to us by the Lord himself. We are righteous in crowns. We receive crowns, five little crowns mentioned in the Bible, for your works here on this earth, not to gain salvation, but because you've been saved. So angels and Israel are never referred to as crowns, but this is a church in verse 4 around the throne of God, already been through the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the Bible makes it plain that we will sit on thrones as promised by Jesus in Matthew 28, 19. Revelation 3, 21. Go back and look at that. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me on the throne, even as I also have overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And you see in Revelation 20, verse 4, this is the church around the throne of God. Next thing John sees in verse 5, he sees lightnings, thundering, and voices. Now, we've had enough of lightnings and thunderings, haven't we? But we're going to see lightnings, thundering, and voices. Look in verse 5 of chapter 4. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. These are symbols of the Holy Spirit. Or excuse me, this speaks of the coming judgment. A storm is coming, and that's the storm that's going to open up in Revelation 6 with the four horsemen in the tribulation period. So we get these kind of things, clouds and lightnings and storm. Let us know a storm is coming. Many today prefer a rainbow, we talk about a rainbow, and ignore the lightning and the thunder. See, they want the God of rainbow, but they don't want the God of lightning and thunder. They don't want God's wrath. They want God's love. And then in verse 5, John sees seven lamps before the throne. He says, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. It lets us know, doesn't it? These are symbols of the Holy Spirit. Seven is a number of fullness, of perfection. Seven churches, chapter 2 and 3, that he writes to. When the Philadelphia church is raptured, the Laodicea church is left behind, the church age is complete. See, we're in heaven. There's no more church age. We're in heaven where he wants us to be. And then we see a sea of glass before the throne. Verse 6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. So many people talk about the streets of gold. In fact, we have a song that says, the streets of gold. The Bible only speaks of the street of gold, not the streets of gold. Okay, but this is, here it's speaking of a sea of glass. Many believe this pictures God's holiness, undisturbed by the wicked world and its opposition. His sea is not troubled. You see, we have turmoil down here, and we get so excited and worried about where this world is going, and God's on his throne. Everything's calm on his throne because he knows his plan is being carried out, right? So, church, what does that tell us? If God's calm, then we need to be calm, right? John Primit, who's from England, y'all know John, he'll be back with us the end of February. He gave me a car key chain, and it was a saying from Winston Churchill back during the war, and that he gave out to the people was, keep calm and carry on, you know? So that's what we got to do. We got to keep calm and carry on. Don't get frustrated. Listen to your pastor. Don't get frustrated. You're not going to change the direction of the world, right? You just praise God that you've been changed, right? And that we can save people out of the world. But before the throne of God, this crystal pavement under God's throne, fixed in judgment and transparent. And then if you study the New Jerusalem coming down, you see all these stones and all this street of gold and all this crystal and the cubicle of the New Jerusalem coming down, glowing. Man, it's going to be a great sight, right? One day. And then in verse 6 and 8, we're introduced to four beasts around the throne in the midst of the throne. Look at the latter part of verse 6. And round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man. Notice all these metaphors here. Was like or as. See, these are not real lions. These are not real calves. These are not real. I mean, there's a metaphor for a symbolism here, okay? And he says here, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them. The only angels that have wings are those that attend to the throne of God, right around the immediate presence of God. And he says here, and they were full eyes within, and their rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy. Now, how do you like that? Day and night, nothing. That's all they do is go around the throne of God and say, holy, holy, holy. And we can't even muster up one holy sometimes, right? And they go around the throne of God saying, holy, 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 God, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And then, so that's this four beasts right there in verses 6 through 8. Now, this is very complicated right here. I'm going to tell you some theories about what it means. And tonight I'll share a few more with you because it's also in chapter 5. They're full of eyes because they guard the throne, aware and alert. Ain't nothing going to get to the throne of God that shouldn't be there. And the Bible says they have six wings instead of three. Remember that from Isaiah 6? Two speak of worship, two speak of service, two speak of humility. And four creatures represent creation around the throne of God. They are very similar to the created beings of Isaiah 6 and Ezekiel 10, and they worship and guard God's throne. Let me tell you what Warren Wiersbe says right here, and tonight I'll give you about three other interpretations about these four beasts. Because I'll just be honest with you, plain. You don't come up and ask me, because I don't know. Okay? You're not going to hear me say that many times, right? I don't know. So when I say it, you better believe it, right? He says this, lions represent wild creatures. Calf represents domestic animals. Man represents his crown of all creation. Eagle represents speed. These four primary forms of life is God's covenant with creation. That's what Warren Wiersbe says. Four is the number of the earth. So we have here God's creation before the throne of God. God is in control, and he will redeem his creation. He's redeemed us, but he's going to reverse the curse. That's when things are going to change on this earth. When the Lord comes and lifts the curse, and everything's going to be reversed, right? I'm looking for that time. I'll share with you more views, but really what man lost at Genesis, God will regain in his coming kingdom. So we see the summons, we see the sights. Now I want you to notice the songs in verses 9 through 11. I believe I'll be able to get through with this. Notice verse 9 through 11. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worship him forever and ever. And cast their crowns before the throne. See, what rewards we have won at the judgment seat of Christ, when we see him, we're going to take our crowns off and cast them at the feet of his throne. Okay? Showing what? That it's by his grace and his mercy that we were able to obtain them at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to cast them before his throne, saying, now, this is what the church is going to be saying, and you need to practice it because this is what you're going to be saying when you get to heaven. Right? Y'all see that? He says, verse 11, for thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We see right here in verses 9 through 10 the songs of heaven. I want you to notice three truths. Number one, what will we be doing in heaven? Well, number one, worship starts with acknowledging God as creator. Romans 1:25. That's the difference between believers and unbelievers. We acknowledge him as creator. They suppress the truth for a lie. They worship the creature rather than the creator. And then when we get to heaven, we will realize that all praise belongs to God. Whatever strutting we done around here, you know, we're going to realize he deserves the glory. Amen? And he deserves the praise and not us. And then we're going to cast our feet at his, our crowns at his feet, which demonstrates that everything we have and all that we've ever accomplished as the redeemed people of God is a gift of his grace. And we will praise him for eternity with a new song. Brother Marcus, the average church doesn't like to learn a new song, right? We struggle with new songs. But this one's going to come automatically, amen? When we stand around the throne, there won't be any cheat sheets, any projectors. This is going to come right out of the heart of the 24 elders, the church. Because we'll have full revelation. And we can really worship him for who he is. Because we shed these old body. And I just want to say this. Larry Munson used to say when he was announcing a Georgia game, he said, now get the picture. Y'all remember that? Get the picture. He was sitting like the other announcer that's so famous. He would say, you're looking live at so-and-so. And Larry Munson would say, get the picture. So I want you to get the picture now. Here's the church in heaven. The tribulation hasn't begun yet, okay? We're going back to the future, right? Y'all ever saw that movie, Back to the Future? Well, we went back to get the future. Here, get the picture here. We see God sitting on his throne, surrounded by worshipers, about to send judgment on the earth in chapter 6. But there's something missing. There's something missing from chapter 4. We're looking ahead to the future. And what's missing is we're not there yet, right? We haven't been raptured yet. But when we get to heaven, all the pieces of the puzzle will come together. And then, chapter 6, the tribulation begins, right? I am so pre-trib, premillennial. I mean, there's nothing post about me. I told you before, I don't like post-toasties. I don't like to go to the post office. I don't take a left turn. I take three right turns to keep from taking a left turn. I believe with all my heart upon the authority of God's word, rightly interpreted, that we'll be out of here before the tribulation starts. Now, we're going to have tribulation. You see more increasing things on the news about Christians being persecuted right here in America. And I would tell you as your pastor, you be ready to live your faith. Be ready to die for your faith. Be ready to stand up for Jesus. Because many are going to fall away in that day when it really costs you something to say Jesus is Lord, right? That will clean church rolls right there. But one day, we're missing, but one day we're going to be there, just like Revelation 4 says we are. And I'll explain all that to you as we get further in the book of Revelation. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure. You're going to be caught up in the rapture when the Lord comes. You say, well, what do I have to do? You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to admit your sin. You have to know that the wages of sin is death. You have to know that nothing you can do is going to gain God's approval. You have to understand that you need saving. Before a person can be saved, they got to be lost. They got to understand they're lost. And you got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way to heaven. He's the one who died for your sins. He is the God-man who came as one of us to redeem us. And the Bible says you've got to confess him as Lord and Savior. If you're not willing to confess him before men, he's not going to confess you before his Father. It just irks me when I see that in some of the larger churches, they got so big they can't have a public invitation. I want to tell you something. After the gospel is preached, after the word of God is preached, there is always an invitation to come to Jesus. And for the believer, is to evaluate your life. So as to the believer today, as you see the church around the throne of God in worship, and how's your worship? I think some of us are going to get to heaven, God says, I never knew you could sing like that. I didn't even know you could pick up a songbook. We won't need no songbooks in heaven. I didn't know you could read the music, you know? See, this earth is a proving ground or a preparation ground for what we're going to do in heaven. If we're going to worship him there, we need to worship him here, right? Okay, now y'all ain't decided now. I mean, I ain't going to let you go if you don't get a hearty amen. Well, I know you'll get up and walk out anyway. But worship is so important. Have you got anything in you that causes you to worship? How about it? You can't come into the presence of God in Revelation 4 and sit there like, you can't do it. I know we got problems. I know we got heartaches. I know this. But folks, it's time to put our focus on him. So maybe today you're not saved. You'll be left behind at the rapture. And you'll have to go through the tribulation period or be martyred in the tribulation. Folks, the time to come to Christ is now, after the church is taken out. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, if he's calling you today, you need to come, right? Say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. Pastor, I want to be saved. Show me how I can come to Christ, right? Heads bowed, eyes closed, as our musicians come today. Father, we thank you for a glimpse of heaven around your throne and what we're going to be doing there. And as tonight, we'll see that the focus all turns to the Lamb who is worthy. And we'll see that tonight as we begin in Revelation 5. I pray, Father, that you'll draw them so heavily, turn them inside out, make them so miserable, make them convict them, Father, the heaviness of their sin will be upon them. They can't help but say, God is holy and I'm a sinner. And I need to come. I need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Whatever it might be today, Lord, we give this invitation to you. I'm only limited in my knowledge and my ability. You are the one that does the drawing. So, Father, we pray that you do your blessed work. I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would get your hand above the